Chapter 6. I watched the beautiful soldier as she smiled at me in the dimly lit gift shop. Kat took another step so her breasts were pressed up against my chest, and she curled her fingers around mine. "You're amazing," I whispered.
"I really, really wanted to be with you, Jason,"
Kat said.
"I want to be with you in every way possible."
Her fingers released mine, and she wrapped her hands around the back of my neck to pull me close. My body felt like it heated 20 degrees as I leaned down, and our lips met in a fierce kiss. Her lips were soft, and her tongue gently groped my mouth as I grabbed her small waist to pull her closer. I hadn't realized how much I wanted to devour her until she was tangled up in my arms, and my fingers wove tightly in her thick curls to keep her against me. Kat let out a soft moan as she ran a hand down my neck, over my chest, and down to my belt. Then she lifted my shirt up and dragged her nails over the muscles of my abdomen. A shiver of arousal shook through my back, and I roughly grabbed Kat's waist again and lifted her up onto the wooden desk beside us. She gasped as she perched at the edge of the table, but then my jaw unhinged as she slowly peeled her tank top off to reveal a black lace bra, creamy cleavage, and toned abs. "Oh, you are fucking perfect," I said as I stepped between her legs, and Kat tore my shirt off over my head in one pull.
"You'll want to talk,"
the corporal whispered, and she grabbed my biceps as I pulled her into another urgent kiss. My hands roamed down the slope of her warm back, and she shuffled herself up so I could grab her firm ass. "These need to come off," I said, as I reached down and unzipped her pants, and she wiggled out of them until they fell to the shop floor. I glanced down and groaned with excitement at her toned thighs and black lace panties. The soldier was the perfect combination of well-earned muscle and welcoming curves, and I couldn't keep my hands off her for another second. I explored every tuck and curve of her athletic body as our tongues tangled together, and I cupped both of her heavy breasts when she started to grind into me. I could feel heat radiating from her as she locked her thighs around my hips, and knowing how bad her body needed more of me made me groan against her hungry lips. Then Kat pulled away from my mouth and started to kiss my neck as I reached around to find the clasp of her bra. I undid the hook and pulled the straps down over her arms to free her pert breasts. Then I grabbed one in each hand, and I brushed my thumbs over her light pink nipples as she leaned back and whimpered with pleasure.
"Oh, Jason,"
the corporal moaned. "You need more of this, don't you?" I murmured, as I felt her trembling in my hold.
"So bad,"
Kat whimpered.
"I wanted this the second I met you."
I grinned as I lightly pinched just one of her nipples, and the corporal let out a shaky sigh of approval. Then I brought my mouth down to flick my tongue against the painfully taut bud, and Kat suddenly knotted her fingers in my hair. The blonde soldier yanked me forward and forced me to take her nipple into my mouth, and I gladly obliged. The second I began suckling at her, Kat let out a wanton moan, and she was so worked up I could feel her heartbeat hammering against my lips. Her hips grinded even harder against my pants while I almost toppled over her, and her breath started grating in her throat in a matter of seconds. Damn, she really did need this. I bit at her nipple just enough to make her squirm, and I kept trailing my tongue around the bud while my other hand teased her other breast. The whole time, Kat kept pulling my mouth closer against her so I was practically buried in her tits. But I didn't mind in the slightest. Her breasts were so cushiony, I wouldn't have minded suffocating in them if she asked me to. But the heat radiating from her pussy was driving me wild while she desperately rolled against me for more, and I finally locked my hands on her wrists and forced her to release me. Kat gasped as my mouth left her slippery nipple, and she stared up at me with flushed cheeks, gasping breaths, and hooded eyelids. "I need more of you," I told her between my own quickened breaths.
"Do anything you want with me,"
the corporal immediately replied.
"Just please, don't stop touching me."
My eyes shot up as I realized how much she meant this. But Kat was already kissing my neck again, and I released my hold on her wrists so she could run her soft hands all over my body. Then I cupped one of her perfect breasts once more, and I let my other hand wander down to her thighs. My fingers ran up her leg as slowly as I could manage, and I teasingly stopped just before I reached the heated mound between her thighs. The soldier moaned impatiently against my neck, and she sat back, grabbed my belt, and wrenched at the buckle to get it undone. The light behind her illuminated her silhouette as she sat on the desk wrestling with my pants, and her waist looked even tinier with her athletic thighs spread for me. I let my hands close around the tiny cinch above her hips, and I reveled in how perfectly the beautiful blonde soldier fit in my hold. I was enjoying the sight so much that I hardly noticed Cat had undone my zipper and shoved my pants down as far as she could. I chuckled at her urgency, and I stepped out of my pants to reveal my rock-hard cock bulging against my boxers. The curly-haired beauty froze as she stared down, and she reached out and gently stroked my erection through the fabric. Her hand trembled a little at first, like she hadn't been this close to a dick in ages. But then she suddenly tightened her grip as she sighed with approval.
Please, fuck me.
The soldier breathed as she started stroking my dick and kissing my chest.
I need you, Jason. I can't wait a second longer. And I can feel how bad you want me too. You're so big and hard. I can feel you throbbing in my palm.
She wasn't wrong. It was almost painful how bad I wanted to take this stoic corporal right now. And I sure as hell didn't need any more encouragement. I reached out to tear her panties down over her toned ass, and Cat wriggled to get them over her thighs and onto the floor of the shop. Then she spread her legs to me once more and revealed her neatly waxed and soft pink pussy. Fuck, you're beautiful, I groaned. I slid my hand down between her thighs, and she kept stroking my rigid cock more urgently. But I started out nice and slow with her. The soldier's pussy was so perfect, I felt like I might break if I got too rough. And I gently dipped just one finger inside her. Cat was already soaking wet, and she moaned and clenched my cock in a kung fu grip as I pressed another finger into her tight tunnel. Then she kept pumping her hand up and down my erection until I was struggling not to come. I focused on sliding my fingers in and out of her slippery entrance while I teased her clit with my thumb, and the smell of her arousal and sweet vanilla filled the air around us. I leaned into the scent as I let my lips trail from her ear to her neck, and then I bit down on her shoulder.
Oh, fuck!
Cat suddenly gasped as her pussy clenched around my fingers. Does that feel good? I teased, while my fingers pressed even deeper inside her. The soldier couldn't answer me, though. She only moaned as I started to rub her clit in a circular motion, and she thrust against my hand without holding back. I kept going until she started to breathe in short, sharp gasps.
I'm going to come,
Cat moaned. And as I kept sliding my fingers in and out, her whole body shuddered as she finally came on my hand. Sweet juices dripped down my fingers and splashed onto the table under the soldier's ass. And I quickened my handiwork and watched her shake through her entire orgasm.
Oh my God!
The soldier whimpered as I grinned at her.
That felt amazing.
You weren't lying, I murmured, and left a light kiss on her lips. You really needed this.
No,
she panted.
I really needed you.
Before I could respond, Cat's hand moved from the outside of my boxers, and she slid her hand inside to grab my hard cock in her warm palm. I shivered with pleasure as she got to work stroking my erection in fast, firm motions, and pulled my boxers down completely. I kicked the clothing away from my feet, and then Cat bent forward in her splayed leg sitting position and licked the pre-cum from the tip of my cock. I sighed and let my hand cup her neck as another shiver shook through me, and Cat looked up at me with a sinful grin. Then the corporal teasingly licked her warm tongue up and down my shaft like it was a sweet treat, and it was all I could do not to come on her face right there. "Your mouth feels incredible," I said as she started to slowly take my dick into her mouth. I put my other hand on the back of Cat's head as she started to bob up and down, and she ran her tongue along me as she sucked. I closed my eyes and let the ecstasy take over as the gorgeous blonde sucked me off. And I couldn't believe I had a badass corporal of the British Army moaning around my erection. The way she whimpered made me realize she was enjoying this just as much as I was. But when she reached her fingers down to slide them into her pussy, I almost lost it. Then the soldier took my whole erection deep into her hungry mouth, right down to the base. And she pulled her cum-soaked fingers out of her pussy to trail them around my balls. "Oh, holy shit," I moaned, as the back of her throat pulsed against my tip. I was lost in the sensation of Kat's treatment for several minutes, but still, I refused to get off just yet. I let her devour my dick and massage my balls as much as she wanted until I finally opened my eyes to see her slowly sliding her lips from my erection.
"I can't wait any longer,"
Kat pleaded, and she spread her legs to show me how dripping wet her soft pink pussy was.
"Please, Jason, please, let me have your cock inside of me."
"I never thought I'd hear a soldier beg," I teased.
"I'd do anything to have more of you,"
the corporal murmured. "Oh, shit, you're perfect. Tell me when you're finished so I can pull out, okay? I don't want to fill you with my cum if..."
"Fill me with your cum, Jason,"
Kat interrupted, as her eyes burned up into mine.
"I want it. Come inside of me tonight."
"Are you sure?" I whispered.
"I'm on the pill,"
the soldier whispered back.
"And I really, really need to feel your hot cream inside me."
I swallowed hard, and the velvety tone of her voice when she said this made my restraints snap. My hands grabbed her tiny waist as she lined my cock up with her wet pussy. And I took in how incredible she looked as she offered up her athletic body to me so willingly. I looked into her bright eyes, and she bit down hard on her bottom lip as her gaze burned through me. "I have wanted this for so long," I whispered, and then I plunged my cock inside her with one firm thrust. We both moaned loudly as her tight walls hugged my rigid shaft. She was so wet, her juices seeped out around my cock, and she grabbed my shoulders as I immediately quickened my thrusts.
"Oh, my God,"
Kat gasped as I bottomed out inside her repeatedly, and I grabbed her pert breasts as she bounced heavily with every movement. "You're so fucking tight," I growled, but I could hardly form the words. My entire body was on fire, and every thrust felt electric.
"Fuck me from behind,"
the soldier begged.
"I want to feel you take me this hard when I'm bent over and at your mercy."
"Anything you want," I moaned as her words heated my bloodstream. I gasped as I slipped my cock out of her slick tunnel, and she jumped down from the desk to reposition herself. I was already ahead of her, though, and I gripped her cinched waist, spun her around, and pressed her down so she was bent over the countertop in front of me. The soldier shimmied her ass to show off the view, and I chuckled as I gave her a playful spank. The way she gasped made my dick throb all over again, and I teased her with the head of my cock for only a few seconds before I plunged inside her again.
"Oh, fuck yeah,"
Kat hissed as I grabbed her waist and started to fuck her vigorously. My head was spinning, and all I could think about was her perfect body pinned beneath me, and how warm and wet Kat felt around my dick. Seeing the corporal clutch the edge of the counter to brace herself was one of the best sights I'd seen all day, and every curve shook from the force of my thrusts while she started crying out over and over again. I didn't let up on the soldier, though. I kept pushing deeper and deeper into her as she got wetter and wetter from the rough treatment, and I reached down to cup her breasts so I could take her even harder.
"I'm going to come again,"
Kat gasped as I pinched her hard nipples.
"Oh, fuck, Jason. I'm going to come again. I can't."
"Do it with me," I ordered, as I plunged in and out of her waxed pussy and my body started to shake. "If you really want me to come in you, I'm ready."
"Yes,"
she shrieked.
"I need it."
"Then come for me, Kat. Now." Kat was already moaning as she came on command, and I held her hips firmly in place so I could feel her spasming around the entire length of my shaft. Warmth ran down my spine and made my body shudder as I climaxed inside her. My dick felt like it was on fire, and the back of my neck prickled with heat as my sperm sprayed into the British soldier's eager body to fill her up. Her slippery warmth hugged my cock in a vice grip while she started to wail with pleasure. and I cursed under my breath as I emptied myself into her pink pussy with a few more rough thrusts. Eventually, both of us started to come down from our shared climax, and Kat managed to slow her panting to a steady gasp. I left a few kisses on her shoulder blade as she went limp under me, and I stayed buried inside her while I spasmed through the remnants of my orgasm.
"Holy shit, Jason,"
Kat moaned, and her thighs trembled.
"You fucked me so hard. Oh, I loved it. Damn."
"I couldn't help myself," I breathed. "You feel fucking perfect. And you begged. I love hearing you beg."
"I loved it too,"
the soldier brazenly admitted.
"You made me feel like nobody else ever has."
I drew a long, ragged breath as I slowly slid my cock out of her with a final shudder. Then I watched my creamy cum spill from her sleek entrance, and the stream dripped down her toned thighs as I stroked her raw pussy lips.
"Jason,"
the soldier whispered and turned to face me. I pulled her dewy body into a tight embrace, and my residual arousal made me twitch as her soft lips gently met mine. Her tongue teased my own as she ran her hands down my back and over my ass. And when we finally pulled away from our kiss, her hazel eyes gazed up at me.
"You're even better than I dreamed. I've fantasized about this ever since I met you."
"Have you?" I asked and cocked an eyebrow. "Does that mean you've enjoyed yourself to the thought of me before?"
"Don't tease. It's embarrassing how many times I've gotten off in the showers wanting this."
"Fuck," I croaked as I pulled her naked body tighter against me. "You really do that?" Kat nodded coyly, and as I imagined her fingering her steamy, waxed, perfectly pink pussy to the thought of me, I felt my arousal building up all over again. "You're incredible," I murmured, once I finally had the strength to speak. "You're so fucking badass and sexy as hell. I can't believe you came here to be with me, but I'm so glad you did."
"I am too. But I think I might need more showers from here on out."
The soldier chuckled as she glanced down at her glistening thighs.
"You made a mess of me. Good thing I'm still on the pill. You pumped a gallon of baby batter inside of me. You can fill me up like this anytime you want. So good."
"Then let's do that anytime you want," I offered, as the naked soldier bent down for her clothes. "I think the other girls would be happy to play anytime, too." I pulled on my pants and shirt, and I watched the curly-haired beauty as she fixed her black lace bra back on. The soldier grinned and pushed her wild curls back when she caught me admiring every inch of her. But then she glanced around the gift shop.
"I don't think I've ever had sex with so many cuddly toys watching,"
Kat laughed. I chuckled in agreement, and I headed over to a stand of stuffed sharks. Then I grabbed one, tore off the tag, and brought it over to the soldier. She actually giggled as she snatched it and cuddled it against her flushed cheek.
"It's perfect,"
Kat murmured, and tilted her chin up for a kiss. I heard footsteps in the lobby above us as I obliged the corporal, and I immediately recognized Becca's laugh drawing closer. There was a bright light shining down the staircase now, and the sound of my other two girls echoed in the stairwell.
"Hello,"
Haywan sang as she appeared on the bottom step, and Becca joined her shortly after. Both girls had two bowls of food in their hands, and the smell of garlic drifted over and made my stomach rumble.
"Hey, guys,"
Kat replied, and we made our way out from behind the counter.
"Now, what were you two up to?"
Becca grinned as she looked at Kat's messy hair and the pile of blankets. Haywan said with a mock serious look.
"Corporal, are you breaking ranks in here with our captain?"
"What? No. I mean, yes, but not..."
Kat nervously replied. "They're fucking with you," I chuckled, as I caught the teasing glint in my other lover's eyes.
"Yeah, this outfit thoroughly encourages breaking rank,"
Becca announced.
"Just so long as Jason almost breaks our pussies while he's doing it, and gives us cuddly prizes afterward."
Haywan scoffed and pointed at the stuffed shark under Kat's arm. "Well, maybe if you're a good girl, I'll give you a cuddly prize too," I chided. All three girls burst out laughing as Haywan's eyes bulged, and I was pleased to see them all enjoying themselves together. I could never quite believe my luck that they were happy to share me, and it blew my mind how incredible they all were with their love.
In that case, I'll have you know, we brought dinner down.
My Korean lover snickered.
Thought you might need to regain your strength.
Oh, then you're definitely on your way to getting a prize, I decided. The girls brought the food over in a chorus of giggles, and I took a warm bowl from Haewon to see it was filled with brown pasta, tomato sauce, and a few chopped bits of pepper.
Why does this look like the best meal ever?
Kat asked as we settled down on the floor to eat.
Jason makes you work up quite an appetite,
Haewon casually replied.
You need to get used to that. With pleasure.
The corporal grinned, and we all started to wolf down our meals. It wasn't exactly Michelin star, but the pasta was warm and the sauce was seasoned with garlic and salt. After sex with Kat, my body welcomed the fuel, but there was also the two dino battles from today to make up for.
How did the phone investigation go? I asked through a mouthful of pasta. Did you have any luck with the internet?
Nope.
Becca sighed.
We tried everything. We asked Matthew about the signal, but he said there's been nothing in the area for weeks. My dad said he didn't know when he would be able to call again.
Haewon added.
Who knows when I'll hear him next.
He did it once, I reassured her. He can do it again, and he will. The Korean smiled at me, and we scraped our plates clean in the low light of the gift shop.
I'm bloody knackered,
Becca yawned as she put her empty bowl down beside her.
I think it's time for an early night for me. Me too,
Haewon agreed.
It's pretty cold,
Kat said.
The blankets we got aren't exactly stuffed with the finest quality down. Jason will keep us warm,
Haewon said with a shrug.
You see, it will heat up soon enough.
Yeah, I'm ready for a good night's sleep with my girls, I grinned as I licked the last bit of sauce from my fork. Let's hit the hay, and tomorrow we can set off bright and early. We all stood up, and Becca made her way over to the light switch as the rest of us stripped down to our underwear and arranged the blankets. The gift shop was plunged into darkness as I laid down on our makeshift bed, and Becca swore and giggled as she knocked something over on her return. Kat slid into the blanket on my right, and Haewon claimed the left. As Becca rejoined the group, she maneuvered herself next to Kat, and I smiled widely as I closed my eyes. Haewon's hand rested on my stomach as she curled an arm around me, and Kat nuzzled into my shoulder. Becca's hand slid over the soldier's waist so she could rest her hand on my lower abdomen, and the soft circles her fingertips made against my skin lulled me into a restful state. Good night, I whispered. I felt a couple kisses on my bare chest while the bodies of my three lovers pressed against me. But it wasn't long until the girls all started to breathe slowly. Then a few little snores rang out through the gift shop. I knew the world outside was in a worse state than ever before. But as I drifted off to sleep, all I could think about was how happy I was with my three girls beside me. And the way the corporal wailed as I fucked her brains out this evening. I woke up again when Kat muttered something in her sleep. And it took a moment to remember I was on the aquarium gift shop floor. My eyes blearily opened, and I could only just see the girls beside me in the darkness. It was hard to tell without any natural light if it was morning or not, and I carefully lifted my arm from under Haewon to reach for my phone. I hit the home screen, and it showed it was 7:32. Time to get back on the road. Hey, guys, I said gently, and Haewon stirred beside me. Wakey, wakey. Becca gave her familiar morning grunt, but Kat quickly sat bolt upright.
Oh, morning,
the soldier yawned.
What time is it?
7:30, I replied, as I gently stroked Haewon's arm.
Oh, wow,
Kat replied.
I haven't slept past 5 a.m. in years.
Seriously? I snorted.
Life of a soldier.
The corporal chuckled as the other two girls slowly sat up.
You must have really tired me out last night.
Glad I could help. I grinned and stood up to find the light switch.
The first person to steal us an espresso machine wins all my riches,
Becca groaned.
I would kill for a strong espresso,
Kat sighed.
Why couldn't we have stayed overnight in a coffee shop?
Because the Starbucks had dino blood all over the broken windows, I sighed back. I walked slowly in the dark over to the barely visible wall, and my bare feet shuffled over the coarse carpet until my hand found the switch. When I flicked it on, everyone groaned at the sudden flood of fluorescence. I hadn't really taken a proper look at the place last night, since I was too preoccupied with the newest member of our group. Now I could see there were hundreds of toy fish in here, and both plastic and stuffed animals lined shelves and filled up boxes. Some shelves had books on marine biology, and others were full of brightly colored stationery. Once we were all dressed, Haywan and Becca grabbed the bedsheets and pillows, and Kat grabbed her new stuffed shark before we started to make our way upstairs to the lobby. As we reached the top step, little beams of light made their way through the sides of the covered-up windows. The low drone of voices echoed from the aquarium basement as we hurried over the tile floor to the reception side stairs.
"So we get back on the highway,"
Becca said, as we headed down to the rock pool room.
"And we head straight on to Ravenscaw."
"That's right," I nodded. "We're so close, and now we have an even stronger team than before. Nothing is postponing our arrival today." Kat grinned up at me as we reached the basement level again, and I noticed some patients were still asleep in their beds. I saw Matthew on a chair beside the shower block, and he gave us a tired wave before he stood up to come over. The nurse didn't look like he'd slept at all last night, and he had dark purple eye bags. There were two other medical staff up and about who he talked to along the way, and I wondered if there was any kind of shift pattern in the makeshift hospital. "Morning," I said quietly when Matthew reached us. "Hey," the tall man nodded. "Just dump that bedding down on the pile. We'll stick it in the washing machine." Becca and Haywan carefully placed their blankets down, and I looked out at the room of fish tanks and injured people. It was such a bizarre combination to see an orange starfish clinging to glass right beside a man with a bandage over half his face, but I had seen many stranger things over the last few weeks. "Thanks for everything," I offered Matthew a warm smile. "We've encountered a lot of people on our trip, and it's always great to find folks who are still helping others during all this."
"Thanks, man," Matthew said, and he mustered up a half smile. "Let's hope we can stay down here unnoticed for as long as possible."
"What happens when you run out of supplies?"
Kat asked. "That won't be for a while yet. Well, unless some huge attack happens right outside and we get swamped. When it is time, though, I guess some of us will have to do a run into the city. There's a couple of pharmacies that were wiped clean, but we can try houses and supermarkets for the basics."
"You can't do much more than that," I nodded. "We're going to get a move on, but good luck with everything. You're good people." The nurse smiled at us and made his way over to a young woman who had started to bleed through her bandaged arm.
"Let's do a quick loo run,"
Becca said,
"while we have the luxury of not peeing at the side of the road." "Good idea,"
Haywan laughed.
"We might not get to do that again until we get to your mum's house."
We headed over to the bathrooms and went in to use them one last time. After I was done, I made my way up the stairs to wait for the girls in the lobby. My footsteps echoed around the room as I walked over the white tiles to the glass doors. I unlocked the push door and opened it a crack to listen for any noises on the street outside. The only sound was a gentle wind and a car alarm being set off in the distance. The girls all arrived shortly after, and we headed out into the parking lot to our vehicles. I made sure to shut the door tightly behind us and hoped someone would remember to come and lock it. Kat had the medical supplies slung over her shoulder, and she carefully stowed them in the back of her Jeep under a large khaki tarp.
"We should keep these out of sight,"
she said, as she smoothed down the plastic surface.
"Don't want those getting snatched up by anyone on the road."
Haywan pulled out her phone and checked the map as we secured our packs onto the bikes.
"We head straight through the city,"
the Korean girl announced.
"That would take us back onto the highway and along the coast. Then it's just straight on to Ravenscaw."
"Just like that," I grinned as I swung a leg over my motorcycle and sat down. "We'll be there in no time, and we're unstoppable now."
"New bandages and rubbing alcohol secured,"
Haywan nodded.
"Charged phones for navigation, some snacks still left in our bags. And my shock prize,"
Kat added. I snickered as I watched the soldier climb into her Jeep, mount her stuffed shark on the dashboard, and start her engine.
"Now we're ready to go,"
the corporal sighed. I looked up at the bright sky and was pleased to only see a couple of crows flying overhead. Birds usually meant there weren't any flying dinos nearby, and I would be happy to get out onto the highway without any holdups. We had managed to get up and ready in less than half an hour, and I wanted to reach Becca's mom as soon as possible. The phone call from Haywan's dad had really given me a boost of confidence in our mission, too. and it was relieving to know there really were people out there surviving like us. I felt like humanity just might have a real chance, and the feeling had been slowly disappearing lately. "Ready?" I called, and the girls all gave me a nod before we drove off from the aquarium parking lot. Heiwan led the way, and we soon sped around a corner so the river disappeared from view. The tall buildings that lined the road looked ominously quiet, and I couldn't help glance at each window expecting to see glowing eyes staring back at me. We kept close together, and I made sure to check my side mirrors often, but there was no sign of talons or sharp teeth as we headed out of the city. I replayed my night with Kat in my head as we drove onward to the highway, and I smiled to myself as I remembered every filthy detail of our encounter. The fact that such a badass soldier wanted to be mine was incredible, but the way she begged for me and swallowed my cock was just the cherry on top of an already fantastic, waxed, athletic, and curvy pie. The sexy blonde soldier only gave me even more of a reason to fight with everything I had. The drive to the highway was oddly quiet, and the girls all checked the sky when we heard the screech of an angry seagull. We were always on guard and alert when we drove, and the slightest flap of a wing could save a life if we heard it in time. Luckily, the skyline was dino-free. No heavy thuds shook the concrete either, and no howls rang out over the deserted streets. Soon we left behind the tall buildings of Hull, and we became more exposed as the road widened and the surroundings turned into broad green fields. A horrible stench hit my nostrils as we passed a small cottage, and I looked over to see the field behind it was littered with dead cows. Most of them were headless, and a few of them were missing limbs, too. Their blood had stained the grass a dark reddish-brown, and claw marks covered the ground around the farm animals.
"That's not good,"
Becca called as she crinkled up her nose.
"Looks like something big did that."
"Or a herd of small things who just nibbled away at the leftovers until they were full," I replied, as I tore my eyes away from the cow massacre. "Those cows have been dead for a while, too. Must have happened before the dinos got pickier with their appetites."
"The drive should take less than 2 hours,"
Heiwan called out above the wind. "It should," I laughed. "But I think those kinds of estimations were made before the whole dinosaurs attacking the planet thing happened."
"That does tend to add to the journey length,"
Kat grinned out the window of her jeep.
"We'll know we're close when we reach the coastline,"
Becca said.
"When I visited home before all this, I would always get excited when I saw the water. It meant it wouldn't be long until my mum gave me a hug and pressed a cocktail into my hands."
"I hope that's how we're greeted," I sighed. "A mom hug and a cocktail sounds perfect right about now."
"Do you think she'll be surprised to see you?"
Kat asked.
"Oh, yeah,"
Becca replied.
"I still can't believe how close we are. She's going to need to sit down and make a nice big cuppa for the stories I got for her." "Hey, what's that smell?"
Heiwan cut in, but it took a few moments for the stench to hit my nose. If I thought the dead cows were bad, this new smell was 1,000 times worse, and it wasn't long until we could see what had caused it. There was a small hill over to the left of the road, and halfway up was a farmhouse complete with a barn and neatly fenced-in fields. 4 decaying Allosaurus corpses were spread over the fields and near the door of the house. The windows of the farmhouse were all broken, and the barn looked like the door had been trampled down.
"Shit,"
Kat whistled as we drove past the scene.
"Whoever lived there put up a pretty good fight. Doesn't look like they made it, though,"
Becca said with a wrinkled nose, and she pointed to a pile of clothing and bones which had been stripped of anything else. The dino bodies had little black clouds of flies all over them, and I glanced warily at the rest of the hill as I watched for any survivors. "Let's speed things up," I said, "before something bigger comes to check out the smell." Our light banter quieted down after the farmhouse, and it felt like we had all just been reminded how severe the situation was. The aquarium had been fun, but the real world had turned into a horror show. Just because we were close to Ravenscar didn't mean we could let our guard down. I remembered reading that most car accidents happened on the driver's home street because people got lazy and cocky when they felt secure. Now, more than anything, I had to make sure we all reached Becca's mom in one piece, and that meant being on high alert every second of the day. As we reached the road to merge onto the highway, we slowed down to a halt and looked at the scene before us. the wide road of the A-64 was the worst destruction I'd seen yet, and not just because of the amount of abandoned vehicles. It was clear something rampaged down the road while people were still in their cars. There were crushed mini-cars everywhere that were almost flattened by the weight of whatever dino had been here. The gray concrete was scratched with claw marks as wide as my bike, and there were human limbs stuck out of various broken windows and doors. I looked over at the girls, and we exchanged silent glances of horror and sadness.
"Fuck this!"
Becca spat, as we stared out at the mass of destruction.
"Fuck all of this! This feels dangerous,"
Haywan said, as she glanced over her shoulder.
"It's so exposed here."
"I don't think we have much choice but to drive on," I replied. "This is the fastest, most direct route. It could add another day to the journey if we take a longer way around. We just need to be careful and watch each other's backs." We started to drive onto the highway and immediately had to take it single file through the mess of broken metal and glass.
"Watch your tires, Cat,"
Haywan called from the front of the line.
"It's easy enough to miss the glass with our bikes, but it will be trickier for you."
"These babies are military grade,"
Cat assured her.
"More heavy duty than a motorbike's tires. Not that I want to push my luck. I've only got one spare."
I tried to make sure and kick any large obstacles out of the way for Cat's Jeep, and we slowly weaved through the crushed cars as we started off down the highway. There was a smell of stale smoke and rancid meat in the air, and for once, I wished the English weather was worse so the rain would cover some of the stench. The trail of destruction left by the huge dino stretched on for miles, and we soon got into a rhythm of weaving between the debris and communicating any upcoming obstacles. Eventually, it seemed that whatever rampaged on the highway must have veered off into the surrounding countryside. The crushed cars became less frequent, and the claw marks disappeared. The road became clear enough for us to drive together again, and I sighed as we passed yet another overturned motorcycle.
"Remember when we thought the countryside had it better?"
Becca asked.
"I guess things are bad everywhere by now."
"There's less people in the countryside,"
Cat clarified.
"But that doesn't mean there's less dinos. If anything, it means they'll be fighting more as the food supply is less.
Especially if they're only after human meat,"
Haywan added.
"And it seems they are definitely becoming pickier with their meals."
There was a huge ear-piercing roar from the opposite side of the highway, and we all swiveled our heads to look over at the right side fields. There was a small pond visible just in front of the start of a stretch of woodland. And although we couldn't see what had made the noise, I noticed the top of some trees shake as something ran through them. "It's not coming our way," I said quietly, as the trees parted away from us.
"Why doesn't that make me feel better?"
Cat asked as we sped up, and another chilling scream rang out over the highway.
"Holy fuck!"
Becca gasped, and she slammed her brakes on as a tiny dinosaur ran out in front of her bike from behind a truck. We all stopped and watched as the little lizard trotted past. It was about the size of a Labrador dog, lightish green in color, and had huge dark eyes. The dino scuttled behind a car and peeked out at us as it made a strange clicking sound.
"I've met these little guys before,"
Cat said as she peered over the front of the Jeep.
"They're herbivores, but they'll bite the hell out of your fingers if you get too close. We weren't totally sure, but one of the guys at the power plant said they were called Gasparinosaura."
"Well, that's a mouthful," I said, as we heard a scuttling noise and a second tiny dino raced over to its friend. "Why didn't we call dinosaurs Gregs or Joes?"
"I guess people didn't think we would be saying the name so often in everyday life,"
Haywan snorted.
"Those little dinos are kind of cute, at least. I think there's another one coming."
We waited, and sure enough, a third of the little creatures raced across the road, and then the three of them hurried out into the grass under the highway barrier. They disappeared into the long grass, and their clicks rang out as they ran.
"I don't care if they're cute,"
Becca said as we started off again.
"I almost broke my neck braking for those little bastards. And who knows how long it is before the vegetarian ones get as angry as the others."
"I think the nesting will speed that process up," I replied. "They might not want to eat us, but if we endanger any of their babies, I'm sure they would have no problems with attacking." We drove in silence for a while. The blue sky above us only had a few wispy clouds that drifted by, and we managed a good half hour without any more dino sightings. As we drew closer to the coast, more and more little cottages started to appear along the sprawling countryside around us. Each one we passed had some signs of struggle or violence, with shredded paint on doors and blood-spattered driveways. One of the houses had a swing set that had been trampled to the ground, and a garden full of garden gnomes were smashed beside it. "Little gnomes didn't stand a chance," I muttered to myself.
"I think we should reach the water soon,"
Becca called over her shoulder.
"We'll get some good views of the coastline and beaches, provided they haven't been overrun with dinos."
"Nothing like a little bit of fresh air,"
Cat called, although she didn't smile when she spoke. "Hey," I spoke up as I sensed spirits in our group had dipped during the gory drive. "We did it. We fucking made it halfway across the country and left a line of dead dinos behind us."
"And we have each other,"
Haywan added, as she sat a bit taller on her motorbike.
"We wouldn't have made it alone. And we never had to try to,"
Becca agreed.
"Well, except for Cat. So proud of you, by the way."
"Thanks,"
the corporal laughed.
"I prefer the team I've got now, though."
The girls all smiled at one another, and I reminded myself of how much we had been through together. We couldn't lose sight of our hope now. We were so close. And the promise of settling in and hunkering down for once lifted my own spirits by about tenfold. Becca had been right, and we soon drove by Scarborough, which was right on the coastline. It was a stunning view as the water appeared beside us, and there was a thin strand of beach beside the rolling waves. The water was a deep sapphire this morning, and for a moment I forgot about the horrors that could be lurking under the surface.
"Whoa,"
Cat whistled as she leaned out of her jeep for a better view.
"That's gorgeous. I wouldn't mind taking a board out there. Well, if it wasn't infested with dinos."
"You surf?" I asked, and I was yet again amazed at the soldier's casual hotness.
"I used to,"
the corporal answered.
"I don't know if I would be too great anymore. It's been a couple of years."
As we drove along the edge of the town, we could see the very British seaside holiday shops. There were abandoned ice cream stands, cheap B&Bs, and tourist shops with windows full of postcards. I kept a closer eye on the water beside us, though. For the most part, the water seemed calm enough, and I reckoned any disturbances would be heard before we saw them.
"Hey, guys,"
Haywan muttered in an anxious tone.
"I don't like the look of that building."
I followed the Korean beauty's stare to a tall hotel that sat a little further ahead. It was painted sky blue and had something large on top of the gray tiled roof.
"What is that?"
Becca asked as we got closer.
"It's not moving."
"Oh, crap," I said as the shape became clearer. "It's a nest." The pile of large sticks had two eggs poking out of the top, and it clearly belonged to some kind of flying creature. It was sheltered on one side by the hotel chimney, and I scanned the sky for the sudden arrival of the parents.
"We need to move quickly,"
Becca hissed.
"They won't have left far from the nest."
"Should we get off the main road?"
Cat asked quietly as we drove past the hotel. "I think we have a good view here," I said, and glanced at the open doorway. "Let's just hurry up." We sped up and left the hotel behind us, and we stayed quiet and kept close to the sidewalk so the buildings shielded us from view of the sky slightly. There was a body face down on the sidewalk as we drove past a convenience store. A man with blonde, blood-stained hair was in a pool of his own blood, and Haywan whispered something in Korean as we passed him.
"Poor bastard,"
Cat sighed.
"I wonder how much the population has fallen in the matter of a few weeks."
"I wouldn't be surprised if it was halved," I replied, as I glanced at the body in my side mirror. "Especially after seeing that video you showed us. Some of these fucking dinos are killing us off and leaving the meat behind. But that's all the more reason to fight for whoever's left." The town of Scarborough was relatively silent from there, and we didn't see any living humans or dinos as we soared alongside the buildings. We passed a pair of human legs with no torso that sat in the middle of the road a few minutes later, and we swerved around it without too close an inspection. The beach on our right started to widen, and the sand stretched out before the gentle waves. My eyes drifted to the open ocean, and I couldn't help thinking of my far-off family. I wondered how they had dealt with the attacks, and how many of them would even still be alive. Haywan had heard from her father, and we would soon be with Becca's mom. but it was impossible to know when I would be able to contact my parents in the States. Never mind see them again. My thoughts of my parents were cut short when I spotted a huge mound nestled in the sand right beside the road, and Becca suddenly hissed for us to throttle down so we'd be quieter. All of us followed suit, but it was too late. The enormous lump on the beach rose up to reveal a Spinosaurus covered in sand. The length of it could rival a T-Rex, and the fan along its back had a bite mark at the top. Underneath the dino was a large nest of eggs, and all hope of going unnoticed was lost as the creature swung its neck around and looked straight into my eyes. "Fuck," I whispered.